Hey, welcome everyone. We watch stuff number 170. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Enjoying the halfway point of my 2-week vacation, celebrating my birthday, as well as you celebrating your birthday.
Yeah. You're doing it. I don't know if you're doing it in a healthier way, because I keep seeing these giant ass steaks you're eating. One, yeah, a little envious. But two, I'm going, God damn, it's a lot of steak. So.
Hey, well, you know, some people want to have a beer crawl that lasts 3 days, and some people want to actually eat food, so.
Yeah, I got to get back to posting pictures of food, because Kevin was like, yeah, I was a little worried about you when you said birthday beer crawl number whatever, and I was like, yeah, that was legit. I was trying to remember which one, and I know you don't drink, so it's hard. I'm trying to think of, like, something relatable, but it's when you go... You go somewhere, and you just get to walk everywhere. Uh-huh. So instead of, like, honestly, instead of having to be responsible, you just walk. Which I understand there's public intoxication, but I can hold it together pretty well. But at the end of the night, I don't remember leaving Asheville Pizza and Brewing. I remember coming through on the walk home, and I told Elise, there's the bus station, we go this way. And then I woke up at 2:30 in the morning in bed. And I went, oh my God, I don't remember how I got here, which has not happened, to be honestly, in a long time. So.
Sound like the plot from The Hangover.
Well, at least I wasn't the only one. That was a fuzzy, fuzzy night, and then I cut her off from doing the same thing the next day. Because we were back at Asheville Pizza Brewing after an entire day of drinking, and she gets, like, dark circles under her eyes when she's drunk. And I know what's coming next. And she kept swearing. And you've met her. You know how high her voice is.
Uh-huh.
It's piercing to begin with. And then, on top of that, just the stuff coming out of her mouth. And I turned to her. I was like, hey, stop. Stop swearing. I go, you swear again, I'm taking your beer away from you. Yes, I understand how that sounds. It got through to her. And then all of a sudden she's like, well, these fucking motherfuckers. I was like, nope. And I reached over, started grabbing her beer away from her. She actually turns into a 4-year-old kid in the restaurant. And with her voice going, no, no, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I'm like, holy shit. And she caught me off guard. And I was like, you said that last time. You do it again. That's it. We're leaving. And our friends are like, I don't think it was that loud. I was like, you have no idea. You're used to her. No one in this restaurant's used to it. So
it sounds like I had the healthier weekend after all.
You sure did, because on the drive home, I actually thought, and I said this to her, I was like, I got about 5 more years of doing this in me. And I think at 50, that might be it. So
I certainly hope so, nature boy.
Yeah. That's what a cautionary tale that is, huh?
Uh-huh.
Seven. He looked good Monday, but that's an 80 or an 85, not a 70. Yeah.
You know what happened? It's like he aged fine for most of his life, and then he went to WWE, and he aged like 15 years in 3 years.
How good did he look at the end of that WCW run? I mean, yeah, you're right. And then he comes into WWE, and all of a sudden...
It happened.
What happened?
It happened. I have no idea, but it's like somebody found his magic and just snatched it when they closed down WCW. Because he looked like a regular old, like, athlete that was like, he looked his age. He looked fine. And then, like, if you watch him when he first got there, and then you watch him almost like, you know, halfway through Evolution when they first start, it's like, what happened to Ric Flair? Like, did that match to The Undertaker do that much? Because he just aged. It's like he just aged real fast in a short time frame. But no, my birthday celebration was far more muted. I was just a plus one being taken shopping and being taken to eat throughout Houston for like 4 days. And then we got out to eat again yesterday. So I've just been relaxing, having my wife spend a boatload of money and hearing her complain about how much money she spends on me while taking advantage. She's like, you know, I spent a whole paycheck on you. I'm like, you should feel blessed.
How'd that go over?
she laughed and rolled her eyes and did like, you know, this is your 40th, so go ahead and enjoy yourself. But yeah, no, it's been good food, good eating. I've been a lot of messages. Like tomorrow, you know, most people get like a birthday or weekend. You weren't playing, you said the week. I'm like, nope. And next week, my biggest gift actually comes in because I convinced her to buy me a leg press machine.
Oh, nice.
Yes. Now I just have to figure out where in the world to put it in my garage because it's one of the commercial gym size ones. So I think the shipping weight was 470 pounds.
Holy shit. Well.
Yes. So they, we know one of those. We'll call you the day before to schedule time so you can help us move it in. I'm like, why am I helping you guys?
Yeah, but like, I'm sorry. That's not what any delivery I've ever had before.
So this is my item. I'll help you point you where my house is. I'm not.
As long as that's the help, sure. Yeah. Absolutely, like, sir.
I mean, I have my job. You guys have your job, and I respect your job. But, yeah, so, no, it's been fun catching up on. I haven't really done too much since I've been back because my internet, my routers died before we left, and I couldn't figure out what happened. Like, and I have like Apple routers, and then I can't replace them with Apple products because Apple discontinued. They don't make routers anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's time to get an upgrade, and I need enough coverage to cover the house. I don't have any dead spots. So the best option I found was like $350 after tax. Yeah, that's what I said.
I know there's more expensive ones too, but it's like, all right, but
it's less expensive ones too. But like, I need something that fits enough square footage.
Yeah,
like, but I want to be able to go everywhere and not have an issue. So, and I've been looking to upgrade anyway. So now I have a choice. So basically, the only thing that really affected is I haven't really watched Netflix on my TVs or anything. But beyond that, it's just been I've just been chilling since I've been back.
Yeah, man, I downloaded Murder Mountain for Netflix. I've yet to get to it because I don't know. I'm still old school. I still like watching it on an actual TV. Yeah. Like, watch on your phone or watch like that. I'm like, nah, you do not get the same experience. And that's why I know Doom Patrol's out.
Have you watched it yet?
No, not yet because, one, I just found out this week it was on.
Okay.
And then I don't want to watch it on my phone because if you have a Kindle Fire, they don't have the DC Universe app. And you can't go to the website to watch.
That's weird because the Kindle box, the Fire
TV stuff
TV
does.
Has it. And I'm able to finally get it on my Android TV because I have a Sony TV. So I actually watched it when it came out. So I won't talk about it except for like, it's entertaining. And it's just real weird, but the weirdness is even more weird than Titans were. But I think the weirdness just fits because like the nature of the show.
Yeah, it's supposed to be.
So. Yeah, it's almost kind of like, I don't know if it was fourth wall, but it felt like it at some times. Like it almost like they were talking to people who were watching. Like not a lot, but it happened like once or twice. Like it didn't seem like it was an accident, but I would definitely recommend it because I watched it. I didn't know anything about any of the characters beyond when they popped up on Titans, and I'm like, oh, I'll definitely watch this. It was entertaining, but beyond that, yeah, I don't really watch. I watch shows on my tablet, but phone, nah. Like no. You just miss too much,
and that's why I haven't watched any more. These are my plans for the weekend because. We decided we're not doing anything. We're just actually going to relax for a change, and which will probably change. But anyways, it's catching up on that stuff, and then like all of Young Justice. I'm not caught up on that either. So, but those go by so fast. I can probably watch all of them tomorrow, or something like that. So, not too worried about that. Yeah, it's funny because the CW shows are off right now. Right? Oh, Supergirl's on, right? But
Everything else comes back up, I think, March.
Okay, so yeah, so it should be coming up pretty soon. Did we ever talk about Cisco leaving Flash, by the way?
No, because he has company, too. We didn't talk about either one. Because Cisco... Caitlin is apparently leaving.
Oh, God, no. Did they say who they're going to replace him with?
They haven't said anything yet. Cisco is one of those temporary ones Because he's gonna do the same thing Wendy, because Winslow will be coming back to Supergirl.
Yeah, they always said he was gonna come back in like a limited spot here and there.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to come back. I think not next season, but the season after. Okay. They said because he's busy doing Broadway stuff. Cisco's leaving to do Broadway stuff. Caitlin just wants to leave to do other stuff. I mean, because it's funny where you forget, people tend to forget. A lot of people had jobs before they got on these shows. It was this whole, this is my first job, I haven't worked before. Like,
yeah.
So, and you didn't really think about it. It's like, yeah, she used to do like horror movies and stuff like that. I remember Arrow, like, what's her name? Laurel was like, she did movies. She was in like a lot of stuff before she did Arrow. So I'm just surprised they both leaving at the same time, but not too surprised because it was like, we had talked about how they got to the point where they had too many people.
Uh-huh.
And but then it's funny, like, you notice when people, like, Joe's finally coming back, but he's been gone half the season because of injuries. You notice, like, Cisco, I'm doing this cure, see you in a month. Like, yeah. Like, it's noticeable when people aren't there, because it's like, it's not where they're there, like, part of the episode. It's like, they aren't there for, like, two or three episodes. Mm-hmm.
Well, Joe, where is he off seeing Wally? He took the baby to go see Wally or something?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it was? Which is the stupidest possible excuse you can give? Because, like, why are you going there? Or I guess maybe Wally's coming to get you. It's like, he can't just bring you back at the end of the day. You know? But maybe travel with a baby's different. Maybe that's the excuse. Some of the stupid shit from that show. That my own, like, Barry, when he's actually on the show, is fine. Ralph's always great. Chris Klein? Yeah. Dude.
That voice. That's what it is.
This is the worst villain they've had. And to go along with it, the worst writing for the villain, too.
Because it's not just that. It's the voice.
Absolutely. Ugh.
That voice is just like,
all metas must die. It's like, ew!
And I'm like, half the time, and it's even more ridiculous when it's just like Chris Klein in a janitor's outfit growling like that. Like, without the mat, like, you know, with no jacket, like that. It's like, no, come on, Oz. Like, whoever he was on American Pie, like, no. Awesome, it's just, like, I don't got anything against Chris Klein. It's just the character of the scene. I thought it was going to be like, he was going to be a villain to set up the real villain. And I guess he will be, but it's almost like they're just dragging this out. And
wait, what do you mean? Well, isn't it pretty clear his niece is going to become him anyways?
Yeah, but I'm thinking it's all like, this just a B plot because all the stuff with their daughter and Thawne.
Why is Thawne look like Wells?
I guess we will find. I don't know if they explained it and we missed it, or they haven't explained it yet, and they will.
No, it's probably either one, lazy, or they just like, don't worry about it, because the other guy's not available, something like that.
He actually works too, so I was about to make a joke. I think he does other stuff. It's just funny, you think of all the stuff people do. So no, I haven't been catching up on those shows. I was catching up on like Gotham, and I actually watched wrestling.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, and even though I caught some of it late, because I didn't get back Monday to like 8, 9 o'clock Central Time. So, yeah, what a Raw. You start off with Roman Reigns coming back from cancer, and wrestling, and snarky wrestling fans talking about, I knew it was a work, because how come he's not bald? Which just made me like, you know, and you remember, we were talking about how people were going to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew it was going to come. But it's even funnier to me, because mostly I'm like, I look at these people, I'm like, and I don't like throwing around my degree, but I'm like, are you a doctor? Do you have oncology experience? Like, because I do. You know, one of the things as a clinical pharmacist is we have to like learn a little bit about damn near everything. Okay. And one of my side jobs that we do on occasion is actually deal with cancer patients. So I'm sitting here like, I can understand, like, Roman's talking about, you know, it's in remission, and I know about how leukemia can work because it's like a zillion different forms, and if you treat aggressively, that time frame makes sense. So I'm like, okay, it sounds like it makes sense. Everybody don't go bald, and everybody don't like Christian Bale and the Machinist, so fine. So seeing Jackass is like, this was just a way for Roman Reigns to get over and sell some t-shirts. I'm like, are you fucking insane?
Well, the one I saw was, take it with a grain of salt. He had told Vince and management he wasn't going to Saudi Arabia. So this was their way of not having him there and getting him off TV and then, you know, making him a face this way. Which, if true, all right, let's play it this way, genius. Absolute genius. Because I told Elise when he came out and everyone cheered, it was cool, all right? When he backed up to do the spear, or was it the Superman punch, and he does the ooh-ah, the entire arena did it. I turn to Elise and I go, Vince McMahon is jacking off right now. He is so happy. Because that's his vision for five years. That this is exactly what he wanted.
And so, my only caveat would be, yeah, you know, that's great, but at the expense of Raw being trash for like four months. Which is kind of like a big damn deal, because it's like, yeah, it's not a coincidence that as soon as he left, Raw went down the toilet, to the fact that, like, you know, we got to hire Bruce Pritchard back. We don't know what to do. Like that was the thing. Like, I talked with Kevin. I used to watch Raw all the time. I watched Raw on recordings when I was at work. And it got to a point where I just stopped watching. Like, I hadn't watched Raw. Like, I might have watched, like, once a month and like, bits and pieces, where it's, like, that's how bad Raw got. So that's why I'm, like, the whole thing is, like, I just laugh at the fact it's, like, no, you're not going to torpedo your show just to get him over.
Yeah.
And it's like, if it ever got out, you know how bad they would look?
That's exactly what I was going to say, too.
Yeah. Like, WWE is cynical, but they ain't stupid. Not when it comes to that. Like, the whole, you can't be in bed, you know, whatever you feel about Susan G. Coleman, where you can't be in bed like we pro kill cancer and then have your top star fake cancer just to get him over and just torpedo your show for like a quarter of the year.
That'd be pretty crazy though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm trying to think of what could be worse. I mean, obviously Chris Benoit was a real situation and that wasn't manufactured by the company.
All the stuff Chris Von Erich used to do with his sons.
Yeah. Oh God. Do you understand how sad that is? I mean, can your head, mine can't, which is why I'm asking. Can your head even wrap around like Kevin Von Erich's state of mind? I mean, how do you? Everyone's different. Everyone's got a different answer for this, but I always like, how did he go on? Everyone around you died.
I mean, it's like, you know, Osama bin Laden had kids.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, imagine, like, you know, you had a brother that's such and such, you know, like, oh yeah, you know, my best, I used to roll with Charles Manson. I know Charlie was like that. I mean, like, yeah.
The parallels you're drawing are very well for Kevin Von Erich in this, though. Charles Manson and Osama bin Laden.
I mean, like, Fritz basically had his sons, you could say, way almost wrestled to death and then used their deaths to make money.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's not on the scale, but the whole thing, well, you know, that's how wrestling used to be. Like, wrestling seemed like it was trash for a long time. Like, if that's how they was doing, like, no thanks. And it's funny, like, you know, the Roman Reigns stuff happens, and then, you know, normal Raw stuff happened. I missed the whole Ronda Rousey talking like an 8-year-old to Stephanie McMahon, like she was about to hyperventilate. And I laughed when I saw the replay. But the end, you know, Ric Flair's having this thing, and it was assuming, like, it's going to be Becky Lynch is going to come out. Because we said that, like, a month ago. Like, when they announced it. Like, they announced it kind of early. Like, you know, that's a setup and everything like that. Because I saw when Ric Flair's wife surprised him at his birthday thing over the weekend. And it was, like, Ricky Steamboat and Charles Barkley and Todd Gurley and, like, all these people and everything like that. It's just funny, like, all the different age range of people who are, like, friends with Ric Flair. So, you know, you play the mute versus, like, you know, Steamboat's there. And Shawn Michaels.
Isn't he in his 60s? Steamboat, least, real quick.
Gotta be.
He looks fantastic. I mean, that dude looks like he could still go right now. That's nuts to me.
That's saying a lot for somebody who's almost died.
Yeah, those island jeans, they go pretty far. So, anyway.
So, you see that? You see Shawn Michaels come out growing his hair out again. And you see Sting looking fine, looking good for his age, too. Because, like, Sting's not young. And then you, like, you know, then you laugh like Arn Anderson got fired the week before.
Yeah. So, can't even celebrate.
So you see that? And then they play Ric Flair's music. And then it come out. So, you wonder what happened. And lo and behold, Batista's with a nose ring, looking like the coolest man in the club, is dragging him like a sack of garbage.
He dragged the camera guy like a sack of garbage, and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Like it felt like you weren't supposed to see that.
Yeah,
which was cool because most of the time, you know, the camera's perfectly positioned, and they underproduced it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So when he was dragging the camera guy, I'm going, wait, what's happening right now? And then he comes in, and then they go up, and the doors close. I'm going, what, is he kind of come out with Nature Boy, and that was like an error or something? And he's dragging poor Ric Flair behind him. I'm like, that dude almost died. Don't do that. And Ric Flair's face is red as can be. Oh, God. I like the angle, but as like a real world thing, don't do that. Don't do that anymore. Just...
And I'm sitting there because one is like, I heard like the rumblings like Batista might be coming back, but I hadn't paid any mind. Like I just wasn't thinking about it. So when he popped up, I was just shocked. And then I start laughing like this whole thing started from SmackDown. Because you was asking me, like, you know, what was the whole Wyatt revenge? And I'm like, SmackDown 1000 episode when Evolution got back and Randy Orton's talking all that trash about, you know, you the guy with the suit and you Mr. Hollywood and yada, yada, yada. Well, I'm out here working. And you remember when Batista Triple H had that stare down, like, you know, like, if you want to go, we can have another one. And everybody start chanting and everything like that. People were like, you know, oh, this is the WrestleMania match I didn't think I wanted to see. And then you didn't think anything of it after that. And then he just popped up and basically called Hunter out. And it's like, wow. 10 seconds sets up a WrestleMania match that already has all that backstory. Because it's like, Batista's the one guy that always trounced Triple H when they had matches. Like, he's beaten him 3 times.
Well, what's funny is Batista was always talking about how WWE wouldn't take his calls or they weren't interested in all this. I'm wondering if they're going to play that into it. If that's what the "now do I have your attention" comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And it's funny. Like, how are you not taking Batista? Like, that's Batista.
Mm-hmm.
What? This whole... The disrespect they've shown him for somebody that's clearly enjoys wrestling and likes wrestling, even though he does not need it in the slightest, boggles my mind. Like, we ain't talking about... No disrespect. We ain't talking about the Rock and Roll Express.
Oh, yeah.
We ain't talking about the New Age Outlaw. Like, Batista was the guy behind John Cena during that time frame. And he used to be the guy that was above John Cena for a long time during that time frame.
Yep.
Like, he was one of the best people they ever had. And then he leaves and becomes a movie star. And you like, oh, will you get in where you fit in?
Yeah, well, what, he didn't want... Was he the one, or was it Jericho that didn't want to do TV? I think that was Jericho. He didn't want to do TV because he didn't want to be bothered with the storylines, which I can see how that would actually rub him the wrong way. But yeah, they either this was a long time in the works or this was, and it was just incredibly well planned out because he even had an interview that came out, I believe the same day, was it Vanity Fair or Entertainment Weekly, saying he's not a wrestler that acts, he's an actor. That's what he said. He doesn't want to be John Cena, doesn't want to be The Rock. He wants to be Dave Bautista, who acts in movies. He's like, that's why I work with, Jodie Foster or Anthony Hopkins, this and this. He goes, I want to be in those movies, not what they're doing. And in the same day, he shows up on Raw.
And the funny thing is, he is that actor because he pops up in like actor movies, not like, you know, actors like movies where a wrestler would pop up in. Mm-hmm. And then he just shows up looking like his old heel Batista. And I was just like so shocked and just laughing because I wasn't even thinking about it. And it's just funny. Because it's like the storyline's big thing because Triple H, because Batista complained all the time about, you know, WWE got soft with this TV PG rating. Yeah. And y'all do this kid stuff too much. The last time he came back, they blew that. And he could talk about that. Like, I came back and y'all got me dressed like a blue Power Ranger. I'm jobbing out to Daniel Bryan. I'm losing to the Shield. Like, my legacy getting spit on for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I could be busy hanging out with Bradley Cooper. And I'm here wasting my time with Randy Orton. Like, what are we? So he's got a lot of backstory. He got a lot of, like, real-life bitterness if he wants to go that fits the storyline. He can blame Triple H. Like, you know, you the man with the suit. You the reason WWE is like this now. So what you going to do?
Yeah, the storyline's going to be so easy. I mean, especially because he quit. Because remember, the last time he was there, it was after they lost the match of the Shield. And he goes, I didn't come back here to fight your battles. I came back here to win championships. And he's like, just hang on a second, you'll get it. He goes, nah, and quits.
Which, oh, and wait, bye-bye.
Yeah, which was kind of which every time he leaves, that's what he does. I think that's really funny. Because remember, it was the last man standing match, I believe, with him and Cena. Uh-huh. And Cena, like, duct taped him down so he couldn't get up. Uh-huh. And he had that awesome rant. He's like, this is what you call a last man standing. This is a joke. This whole place is that he leaves.
Yeah, like, oh, you want me to quit? Fine, I quit.
Yeah.
And people cheering it, like, he actually left.
Yes.
And then he come back, it's like, oh, so he quit. So, no, the whole thing is just, like, Batista's a heel is just so awesome anyway.
Oh.
Like, you know, as good as he was as a face, and he's a good face because he was always like, you know, I'm cool and relaxed and handle stuff, and I actually use my brain. Like, he was one of the few baby faces that was smart. To make it to the point where everybody's look dumb because, like, why don't you use common sense like Batista does?
Yeah.
But no, him as a heel is just hilarious. And
if he gets to cut some more kissing baby or hugging babies, kissing fat girl promos, I'll lose my mind because that's when he became awesome. I don't know if you remember that, but it was the feud with Cena.
That.
Oh my god.
Like, you kissing babies and hugging fat girls. I'm busy making money.
Oh god, I was like, that's so great. And then he was gone a few months later, like, or a month later, I believe. It wasn't really that long.
Yeah, it was like three, four months because it started where he was feuding with Rey Mysterio when he first turned heel because they lost the tag team championships. And then after that, he started feuding with. I think it was something else before he feuded with Cena. I can't remember because the time frame's fuzzy. Because, like, he won the title and then lost it.
Yeah, isn't that when he lost it to Rey? Because he was his face. Rey beat him. Isn't that where the my friend thing came from?
No, they lost a tag match. It was either a tag match or like a. It was either a tag match or like a triple threat match.
Jesus, that's an overreaction for a tag match loss.
Yeah,
Jesus.
No, it might have either been that. Or if it was like a triple threat match. It was one of them. And, you know, they was like, oh, don't worry. It'll be okay. And he was like, you know, I'm just sick and tired of you messing up everything. And I'm going to knock your head off. And Rey had this look on his face like I'm about to die and I didn't even do anything. And it was like, the hell, you're supposed to be my friend.
That's right. Yes.
Because I remember that because it's like some stuff you don't forget. So you have all of that go on. And, of course, meanwhile, Ronda, the whole Becky Lynch getting locked up and having a t-shirt with the awesome rap cover. I'm like, yeah, that.
Well, that's also what they did when McMahon went to jail, too.
Yeah, but that mugshot is just like, I made a joke with someone like, boy, white people must like jail because y'all always smiling in y'all mugshots like it's no big deal. And I'm like, yeah, that's going to be a t-shirt. And then soon enough, that was a t-shirt. So,
hey, capitalize while you ate. If she's supposed to be the modern female Steve Austin, she has to have a new shirt after every pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Austin did. And that was just on TV, not including what he had on shop. So if these parallels are going to be made, she's got to up her game.
Well, she up
every month.
Because they're going to be doing that t-shirt. So, you know, that happened on Raw. And then SmackDown. Woo, yeah.
I thought I was going to have to talk you off a ledge on Tuesday.
No, the thing was, I know the storyline behind the stuff, and I was laughing, like, "Oh, you know, it's just a storyline. Don't get worked up. Like I'm not a grown, like I'm not a grown ass man that's been watching wrestling since I was like 7." But my counterpoint was, just because the storyline doesn't mean it's enjoyable, even though you have an idea what may happen. Two, excuse me for being skeptical, but black wrestlers have been getting screwed in WWE and WWF for a long ass time. So that Booker T stuff was supposed was, you know, you're gonna come up in the end, so don't worry about it. And I saw what happened with that. Like I saw the same thing, Rock and WrestleMania 2000. Oh, The Rock will prevail. Don't worry about Triple H. Yada yada yada. No heel champion ever kept the belt at Mania, so don't worry about it. And I saw what happened.
I don't remember that one. What was that?
No. WrestleMania.
Oh,
it was,
that was the Four Corners thing, right?
It was the Four Corners, the McMahon in each corner. Yeah. And everybody swore The Rock was going to win because The Rock was up and coming. And, of course, like, heels don't keep the belt at Mania and blah, 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 blah. And what happened? Triple H won. Everybody was pissed. And they basically did that so they could have a bigger buy rate for Backlash when Austin came back. So they basically pushed it off. So, and just this time last year, people swore that Asuka was going to win, Nakamura was going to win, and Roman Reigns was going to win. Because they had all the momentum, the storyline made sense, it's their time to shine. And look how that turned out. So I know what common sense says. I know how things are supposed to go. But you and I have both watched WWE long enough to know just because something is supposed to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. Yeah.
The Asuka thing, I'm going to say it like this, but it's not what I mean. It's kind of a stupid thing to say, but I understand the Asuka thing in that they don't have any faith in that poor woman. That was a Triple H thing, and it's clear as day they don't care about her. And
It's funny. You know what's funny? It's like they didn't – I would believe that except for the fact that they had her beat Becky and Charlotte and then had her tap out Becky Lynch clean. I think it's the fact they just don't know. Like, it's kind of like they know she's special, but they don't know what to do with her. Yeah. And the biggest problem is she don't got anybody to fight because all the SmackDown people on Raw.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say Naomi, but I'm starting to think that ship sailed too.
Yeah,
which is a goddamn shame. I'm wondering if it's because of the drunk driving thing. Her going down the wrong way is her fault, obviously. But
I laugh at that. It's like Jimmy Uso gets arrested the week of a pay-per-view, and they win the tag titles. And they one of the people they pin is Shane McMahon. Yeah. So if anyone doesn't think Samoan privilege is a thing, isn't a thing, yeah, all right. So the Asuka thing I could see, although it's kind of like she was undefeated, she loses to Charlotte just so Charlotte can set up Carmella. That's what really got people pissed. The Nakamura thing is when people are like, because it's like that was all set up for him to win. And people find with it now because like Nakamura's relaxing.
He's been relaxing since he got there. Now, all right, and the reason I say that is he came in, and Kevin and I talked about this too. He came in with a boatload of hype. Now, I never saw him in New Japan, so all I have to go by is his work in WWE. That first match with him and Sami Zayn was incredibly awesome. Everything after that's been, okay, it's pretty good.
Like the Joe stuff was, yeah, he had the great stuff with Joe. No, his thing was he's just been chilling because, like, I got all this mileage from New Japan. I'm just relaxing.
Yeah.
But I remember the whole talk, like, you know, he won the Royal Rumble. He eliminated Roman Reigns last. So it's kind of like I remembered all the hype behind him going into Mania. Like everybody swore he was beating AJ Styles, so AJ Styles had the belt for the long time, and they're gonna have a dream match just like New Japan. And then they didn't. Nakamura turn heel, and then we got what we got.
Yeah.
But the third one is like, no one saw Brock Lesnar was beating Roman Reigns last year.
You remember leaving that show. Uh-huh. Way too long, but that place was dead. Walking out, people just walking out. Like,
what did we just? Like, I thought Brock was leaving. Yeah, that was the whole talk. Like, you know, we don't want to see Roman Reigns win because we sick of Roman Reigns. But, no, if he going to win, this is the time to win because Brock is about to be out the door. So after he beat him, everybody like, huh?
Yeah.
And then he beat him again in Saudi. And then it's like,
no, I thought Roman in Saudi.
No.
Oh, no, that's right. They did say Lesnar won, didn't they?
Yeah, Lesnar won. Even though Roman's feet hit out first, they said Lesnar won. And people was like, wait a second. I thought Roman Reigns is the chosen one. How come he didn't win the title yet?
Yeah,
it's kind of like, so to rewind it back to Kofi Kingston, it's kind of like saving the match for Mania is fine because it's like it's an awesome Mania match. But how they got there is just so
makes no sense.
It's like, I think unless the storyline is like, you know, Vince is just it's like Vince is playing as the stereotype that he's out of touch because this is the second time he's done something like that. And people like, even Steph and Shane are like, what's going on? Did you know about this? Like, this is what we're playing. And the crowd, you could tell the crowd was pissed. Like, real, because he came out. Like, even before he came out, they chanted his name twice.
Yeah.
And then he came out trying to cut his promo. They chant his name twice. Like, I'm like, this man is over. Like, you know, they ready for him to win. And then Vince comes out, and I'm like, oh. As soon as his music played, my heart just dropped. And I'm like, why am I getting invested this much in wrestling? Like, it's wrestling. And I haven't been feeling like this in a long time. And I'm like, that's why I got mad. Because WWE made me care again for the wrong reasons.
That's why I said, yeah, I messaged you. I drew a message during the Elimination Chamber. And I'm watching this going, oh my God, this is going to happen. And it doesn't, and you're deflated. And it's like, they got you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole arena was dead. Everyone's like, yeah, you know, it was really, really good, blah, blah, whatever. And that's why I said, because wrestling's fucking awesome. I had a great wrestling weekend anyways. And this is what it's hard to explain to people who don't watch. It's a fake, whatever, predetermined sporting event. You get invested in a sports team that you ain't playing. You're watching a movie where at the end, you know, Peter Parker disappears, Black Panther disappears, and you hear people audibly gasping.
Mm-hmm. So and like crying.
So they say when it's entertainment, I still can't stand the sports entertainment thing. It always sounds forced. But it's like, yeah, you're supposed to get involved in this stuff. Or drama, theater, movies, even music for that matter, wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
So when done well, wrestling's incredible. Like,
yes, it is.
And that's why I didn't ignore everything you said, but I'm trying to be the optimist here.
I'm not cynical. I'm just skeptical and afraid because everything they're doing makes sense from a story standpoint. Like, you know, keep the hero pushing. Because, like, winning at WrestleMania would be awesome. Because, that's the best place to win. But it's like, you know, especially it's kind of like he wasn't the original plan anyway. Like, like one, he took Mustafa Ali's spot. Two, Kevin Owens was supposed to fight Daniel Bryan at Mania.
Yeah.
And apparently that got switched, which is surprising because it's like, it's funny. For all the slander they give Kevin Owens, they seem to really like Kevin Owens.
Uh-huh.
Like, and it's funny watching that 24/7 thing, like after the match with Jericho, he's like, you know, did you like, how was the match okay? And Vince is like, no. And then it didn't say anything. And you just see Kevin Owens like, somebody kicked this damn dog. To fast forward where he's letting Kevin Owens headbutt him and give him a frog splash and all this. It's like, yeah, he really sees something Kevin Owens, which is surprising because of Kevin Owens' body type. And you see Kevin Owens out there doing the stunner and all this stuff. And it's like, you know, yeah, I'm watching this. And I'm just looking at Kofi Kingston's face because he just had this look like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, you know, this whole, I'm shocked and disappointed, but I'm just more or less just so like angry, but I can't show how angry I am. And I'm assuming, like, you know, I don't know if Kofi's just going to jump in and interfere that match at Fastlane or what's going to happen. And I don't know if they're going to have a triple threat at Mania or just have a one-on-one at Mania, you know. But I hope Kofi Kingston wins at Mania. And I'm rooting for him to win. And because if he don't, then that's a wrap. Because then the crowd is going to be like, we know you're not going to win, and we're going to treat you like we treat Rusev.
Wait, you mean for Kofi?
Yeah, because fans would be like, because fans get to a point where like they feel like you're not going to win. After a while, yeah. They's like, oh, what's the point of us getting invested? We tired of getting disappointed. So even after, because you notice sometimes people win when it's too late. You can tell by the crowds, I guess.
Yeah, especially with the Rusev thing too. I mean, they turned him heel, and it's been met with just a thud. And I don't know. That's why I bring up the guys from NXT. I'm kind of sitting like, what are we doing? Because
having them beat everybody?
Yeah, like that's not a good look.
But I mean, I'm laughing. You know what's funny about that? Everybody complained about the people from NXT before, saying with good reason, like you brought them up and didn't have anything to do with, like they didn't have anything to do besides either come out and skits or lose. So Triple H is like, all right, you had your guys that you wanted to bring. I'm bringing my guys, and they beating everybody. It's like Triple. It's almost like he put his foot down. Like you had your little fun with Heavy Machinery. I'm doing what I want to do with my guys. It's like they come out beating the tag champs. And just beating everybody.
Yeah.
Like Raw and SmackDown. I'm just laughing like, this is how you're supposed to book them to make NXT seem like a big deal. But it's almost to the point where it's like, it makes Raw and SmackDown look bad. These rookies just coming on and just trouncing them.
Yeah. One thing I'll disagree with you on, I think they're doing Heavy Machinery right. They're giving them characters. Dozovich is just a weirdo. Okay, cool. The crowd's getting into him, and the guy's just funny anyways. And then you see his athleticism in the ring, you're like, all right. What was shocking about Monday was, besides them, you know, what they say about eating cheeseburgers? Cheese!
Or steaks and weights, or something like that.
But how small did Tucker Knight look compared to the Ascension? Were they standing on something?
No, the Ascension's this big.
I mean, I know Connor is. Connor's always been a big dude. Victor's shrunk down. But, I mean, well, Tucker, excuse me, not Tucker Knight anymore. Tucky. He looked ridiculously small. I was very surprised. Like, okay, wait a minute. Because Otis isn't that. Otis is one of those weird body shapes where he's like,
he's not tall, he's round. He's wide, yeah.
But he's not that short either.
But he's not short, but he's not, like, super tall. He's just, like, wide.
Yeah, and I think he'll be fine. I think Tucker Knight's...
Well, they got to keep it together like Street Profits. Like, you know, it's like one of those things. Like, you know, some tag teams, you together because, like, one guy can make it and one guy can't. The only time is, like, you're not sure which guy. Hit Machinery, you know. Lacey Evans is coming out the walk.
That's going to be Asuka's opponent at WrestleMania. That's mind-blowing.
And she going to win.
Oof. Oh, see, I didn't even think of that.
She going to punch her in the face and win. You can tell they like her. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
Because Vince likes blondes, and you got this fake... And the funny thing is, she's pretending to be what Vince like. Because you got this Mexican woman pretending to be this blonde, regular old lady, even though it's like Mexicans is American like anything else. That's a funny thing. It's like she's playing this, she's an all-American pretending to be the quote-unquote all-American. Like, I was in the military, I'm a happy wife, I'm a happy mom, I'm domesticated, and I'm punching all these people. Like, her finisher is a punch to the face. And it's funny, that punch looks awesome. So it works. But it's just funny thinking like a punch in the face is a finisher. I wouldn't be surprised if she won, because it's like the problem with both the women's shows are like SmackDown, Charlotte and Becky are busy doing Raw stuff, and everybody else are tag teams. So Asuka has no, like, Asuka doesn't have anybody to wrestle right now. Like, you know, she could wrestle Naomi, and that would be a good match. She's wrestling Mandy Rose at Fastlane, because it's like they like Mandy Rose, so they want to get that out, you know, get that out the way. Because it's like, isn't that's Asuka's problem? Like, her best people she could wrestle is either on Raw or NXT. Because it's just like they got a lot of women, but they're busy doing other stuff. I won't laugh my ass off when Lacey wins because you think the crowd had a problem with Asuka losing to Charlotte. Imagine New York. Like, that's a strong, smart area. Like, we're talking about New York WrestleMania with a New York crowd, a WrestleMania crowd. And she going to lose. And she gonna lose. She lose clean,
yeah.
And people gonna lose their goddamn mind.
I don't know. I don't know if people are that invested in Asuka anymore.
They are.
No, well, not, it is gonna be a hardcore crowd. So yeah, they will be.
You know how I know? Because when it's the same time Vince found out, it was when Becky Lynch was looking for somebody to replace her for Survivor Series. And she was going by the people. And she got the Asuka. And everybody start cheering, chanting her name. And apparently that's when Vince was like, oh, yeah, people like her. Let's push her. Because ever since, because think about it. Before, it's like, you know, she teamed with Naomi. She having fun, having jokes. And then after that night, she wins the triple threat match to win the title, beating both Becky and Charlotte's house can be. And then, I know we said it before, she made Becky Lynch tap out.
Yeah, that was a weird decision.
Like, she, and it wasn't no cheap thing. Like, she beat her clean and didn't even pin her. She made the hottest person in wrestling tap out. So it's like, so obviously they see something in her. I think it's just a fact of they don't know. It's almost like, you know, they don't know what to do with her because they don't have anything. I guess when they have the superstar shakeup, they're going to do whatever. And I'm thinking once stuff moves to Fox, things gonna look a lot different because you notice like the NXT people showing up on Raw, SmackDown. Bayley and Sasha showed up on NXT this week.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. I just watched that today, so yeah, that was pretty cool. I did like how they addressed Izzy, and she goes, "No, she's pretty cool now." And Sasha's like, "No, I've changed." And I'm like, "Yeah, wasn't that long ago that you were?" I can't wait for them to lose the titles and those two finally feud. Because I like the change in Bayley, which I don't know if a lot of people picked up on. She was always kind of awestruck, I think, if that's the right word. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of like, yeah, look at me, I'm a superstar. And now it's, yeah, I'm a superstar.
Yeah, because she is. Changed.
Yeah, so I thought that was a nice subtle thing. But
yeah. No, it's funny you brought about height, and I thought about NXT. You don't realize about like how high can be a thing till you look at Undisputed Era and then you put Velveteen Dream next to them. Oh, God,
yes.
I made the joke like he wearing the step heels. Like, he's deceptively tall, first of all.
He's 6'5", so isn't he?
I don't know if he's that tall, but he's got he's built like a supermodel because he's like super tall. He's wide with no waist. Like, he's just built, like, he's not super jacked, but he's just, like, super cut. Like, and he's just, like, you know, he's built like a cheat code. Like, he's got the perfect body if you were a supermodel. He just happens to be a wrestler. But you put him next to all those, that's like, it's like the Hobbit.
He's only 6'2".
Yeah.
How tall is Adam Cole in them? Like, we always knew, like, Roderick Strong wasn't the tallest guy. But that's bullshit. They have Adam Cole as being 6 foot tall. Bullshit.
If he's standing on like two phone books.
Well, unless he was wearing heels or something. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look at a match between the two.
He's 6 foot low. Because I'm like, he's not taller than Ricochet. And Ricochet ain't no 6 feet. And they don't list him as, and I don't think they list him as 6 feet. Huh. So, yeah, I'm thinking Adam Cole's in the whole, yeah, I'm 6 foot in cleats.
Yeah. Oh, like Drew Brees?
Mm-hmm.
Or Kyler Murray came in at 5'10".
And an eighth inch.
six foot cleats.
Yeah, I'm 5'10", an eighth inch. Yeah, no, and it's just funny, like, you knew they were short, but he just reinforced how short they were. Well, I mean, which is because I've always said with them, their size is going to be an issue if ever they get to the main roster. Because it's like, they short and small.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially Adam Cole. Adam Cole looks like he's like a manager at a Foot Locker. I don't care how like, he can fight and he can wrestle. And I know it's a different era in WWE based on body types, but it ain't that different.
No.
Like, out of the four of them, I would test him. Like, if I saw them, I wanted to fight in a bar, I wouldn't be afraid of Adam Cole. Like, Bobby Fish and that mustache, I'd probably leave alone.
And those crazy eyes he can get.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, is he like he ready to fight Jason Statham?
Yes.
The rest of them, yeah. Like, I would try to square up. So,
see, I disagree with you on Roderick Strong. Because he's got that chin on him. You're like, huh. That thing looks like it could take a few.
Roderick Strong looks like an asshole. Yeah. Like, he probably can fight, but how many assholes do I think he can fight? He doesn't like that type of asshole that can really fight. He just looks like a jerk. Like, he's going to call somebody like a slur and then smirk at you.
Yeah, and then Kyle O'Reilly's the guy that you're like, I'm going to take him easy. And all of a sudden, you're getting twisted, and you're like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, but that was definitely noticeable. And then, like, I caught bits and pieces that Keith Lee Dijak match is like humans that size shouldn't be able to move like that.
We got to get off wrestling, but every time he's on, I don't get the Dominik Djokovic guy. I don't see it.
It's simple. He looks like a video game fighting boss. That's all. That's basically like he's like a tall. He looks like a taller Edge with a crew cut.
Yeah, I just nah.
And having size and being able to move will always get you money in wrestling.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just I guess he's not for me because I'm watching that match going, okay, so the skinny guy's doing all this flippy stuff. Cool. And all of a sudden Keith Lee does it. And I'm like, that's way far more impressive. That is far more impressive than what this guy's doing.
I mean, they're both impressive. Like, Keith Lee's impressive because he's that big. But tall guys don't normally do flippy stuff like that. I mean, you ain't going to see Edge. Like, imagine if Edge busts out a moonsault.
Kevin Owens doesn't count.
Yeah, like I'm saying, like type. Tall, lanky guys, yeah. Like Randy Orton used to do cross bodies and look like great because of that size. And they told him to cut it out, like, you're just gonna hurt yourself. You don't need to leave the high flying stuff for the guys who have to do it. Like, guys that are like tall don't normally do that stuff. Like, cause you look at like The Rock didn't really do it. Triple H didn't really do it. Like, Booker T was like, that's why Booker T was so stood out so much. And I just talk about him a little bit before we move off from wrestling. Booker T is very underrated.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Like real underrated. Like, not even just like all the stuff he's done in wrestling. He could have probably played like professional sports. Like, you see the stuff he was doing at his size. Mm-hmm. It is like, yeah, like he was definitely tall. He was, especially like during Harlem Heat days when they were, whenever diet they were on, because they were not small people. So, and him doing like, drop kicks and crescent kicks and like, sentons and stuff that size. It's like, it was like if it was a basketball player wrestled. Yeah. That happened to hit the weight room, he'd be Booker T. So I'm always amazed. That's why I think of Djokovic is like, tall guys normally don't do stuff like that because it's hard to do flips when you're tall because it's like your body's not your friend.
Yeah. Kevin said he liked him from his ROH run, which I can't even find ROH on my TV. So I haven't actually watched it other than going to the show in a while. So just missed that totally. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I'll tell you what, it's weird. Keith Lee, I really like, but he looks like an old man.
It's the face.
Yes.
That it's smile. So weird. It's that smile. He's got that old, I'm that old uncle that bring the good beer. Yes. It's a smile. That's all it is. So,
it's like he was selling this week, and I'm going, oh, man, quit beating up on Uncle Keith, man. What are you doing? And then dives, feast your eyes. Shut up. Anyways, speaking of shut up or stop or oh, boy, I saw the Dark Phoenix trailer this morning, and I know you did.
I saw it last night, actually.
Oh, did you really? Yeah.
It came out like late last night, and I was like, do I really want to watch? And it's funny, like, I'm a big X, like, I like the X-Men movies more than most, and I'm just ready for this to be done. Like, this is the one I've been the least excited for a long time, and the more they show, the less excited I get.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are we doing The Last Stand again with like younger people?
Yes.
That's what it felt like. You like, where the space stuff? Maybe they hide. And I'm like, no. They showed it. Yeah, when they flew in space and they got hit with the Phoenix Force, that was the space stuff.
But they're talking about how, like, Gladiator's supposed to be in this and the Shi'ar Empire and all this. I'm going, okay. So I'm looking for all this stuff. I'm going,
yeah. I'm like, if they are, they're doing a real good job hiding it because we haven't seen any of it. We just been seeing Jean crying and Jean killing people.
Yeah,
and Charles saying, I'm sorry.
100 times, which he didn't before. All right, so I'm a little distracted. Crank is on, the original. And have I ever told you, like, the massive crush I have on Amy Smart?
Yes, you have. And you always tell me when Crank comes on.
Oh, god damn. I loved her when I saw her in the Road Trip. And then ever since, and Jesus Christ. All right, I'll turn the other way, but... I don't know. It's like she doesn't have, you know, all respect, she doesn't have like this gigantic standout presence to her or anything. But those are the kind of girls I used to go for in college all the time, with medium success, and yeah, it's always been like, oh my god,
you don't have to sell Amy Smart to anybody.
but there's always that one person. She ain't got no ass. She ain't got no hips. Like, shut up. I like what
she
I
got.
Like.
Yeah, she got something. That's
she
all
got
like
something I like. How's yeah. that? So
I mean, anyways. it's always something. But no, I see the trailer and it's just like. And here's the thing, and I've talked about it with people. It is not like a make excuse for Fox because Fox hasn't done the best job. And I've come to the conclusion, especially after watching The Gifted, some things aren't meant for movies.
Yep.
The X-Men, and it's not just the X-Men. Teams aren't meant for movies. And people said, like, you know, what about the Avengers? I'm like, the Avengers worked because you had a bunch of movies building up all of them. So by the time you got to the Avengers, you knew all of them. Yep. You knew their motivations. So you have to spend time explaining everything. You can't do that with the X-Men. It's like, unless you're going to – the only way you're going to do that is if you just drop them in and you assume people know what they're about and what they do, and then you just go from there, which might be the best route to go. It would be – I'm real curious to see if that's the route because, you know, Marvel's saying, you know, they're going to use them when they can use them. I'm curious to see if that's the route they take. Like, you know, we ain't going to do an origin story. We dropping our team and you just on for the ride. I mean, that's probably the way to do it because it's like people know who the X. You're assuming people know who the X-Men are. It's like the X-Men are by popular. Now. Yeah. But it's like that's. That's like Spider-Man is the only one that they did that with, and it's kind of like, and you got away with that because Spider-Man had origin stories twice within 10 years. I don't know if Marvel that brave this, you know, here's our Wolverine, Cyclops, yada yada yada. They on a mission. Like
I would think that's the way to go. Just like if they do a Fantastic Four movie, they're out of their damn mind. If they do one, if they do one anytime soon, and then two, if they do it and do it another origin story. I mean, oh boy!
It's funny. Like people, like you notice, like the top. A lot of these movies aren't origin stories. And like Aquaman wasn't really. I mean, it was a little bit, but they didn't spend a whole lot of time. Like he was already established.
Yeah.
So they spent a lot of time with that. Spider-Man: Homecoming definitely was it. Black Panther got all that out the way. Mm-hmm. And like Civil War, so I mean, you still have them because like Venom was, and like Wonder Woman, but even like that, like even Wonder Woman was partly, but you knew who Wonder Woman was from Batman versus Superman. So it's just you've had so many comic movies that it's hard to do the whole origin story thing because like everyone has seen origin stories. Do we really want to see an origin story again? Because it's like, you know, we just seen this. So having said. Yeah, but having said that, it's just like, this is just a mess. Like, you're copying, like, the Dark Phoenix is too complicated to just fit in one movie. Anyway, I know it's a popular story, and I know why they keep going on to it. But when the cartoon did it, it was like, I'm trying to remember, like a 4 or 5 part, like, thing. Like, they was spread out, because it take time to do all that. Like, her turning the Dark Phoenix with the Hellfire Club and everything like that. Then the whole Shi'ar stuff. It's like, are you trying to fit this in 2 hours? Like, you barely... Like, we just got Jean. You don't really know her that much. And it's like, And I see it, and like, yeah, it's raining, and everybody looks sad, and I'm guessing Mystique dies because they, like, basically hit you over the head without hitting you over the head with it. And I'm like, this movie's supposed to come out a long time ago. I'm just ready for it to come out and just be done with it.
Yeah, and it's like we're saying all this, obviously we're both going to go see it. This will be another one I won't take Elise to. She didn't see the last one, and then I was actually watching on TV. She goes, I didn't see this, did I? I was like, no. She goes, okay. So it wasn't like, oh, wow, this is really good. It's like, nope, I made the right decision. So, I'll be curious to see how Marvel uses them. And I'm one of those people that is wondering if the changes they made to this movie, because they did reshoots again, that if... I mean, I guess they can't. But in my dumb fan brain, I'm like, did they work something out to where they changed or created an ending on this movie that can go into the Marvel movies? Like the alternate reality or some dumb shit? I don't know.
I mean, they don't. That's the whole thing. Everybody that's following it wants Marvel to just start from scratch. And if you're going to keep anything, it's basically... It's like the only thing you would keep is Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, but Kevin Feige already said he wanted his own Wolverine.
Yeah, well,
good. So,
and we said before, good luck with that one, because that poor person, ooh, that's going to be a world of hurt, man. Cause it's just, no matter what you do, no one's going to be happy.
I mean, but yeah, if he's good enough, then people get over it, get fine. It better not be Scott Eastwood. So, I mean, I heard that rumor. I'm like, nah. I mean, I know Clint Eastwood could have been a good Wolverine back in the day, but that don't mean his son could be.
Yeah. Well, Jai Courtney's probably open for something, too.
But I'm like, who could be Wolverine? Because it's like, no one knew who Hugh Jackman was when he became Wolverine, and DuGray Scott was supposed to get that originally, but he was busy doing Mission Impossible 2. They asked Russell Crowe, but Russell Crowe thought he was like too old to do it, and he recommended Hugh Jackman. And imagine if Russell—that's funny. Russell Crowe's turned down a lot of stuff. He turned down The Matrix, and he turned down X-Men.
It's funny because it didn't really hurt him. Most of the time, you know, something gets turned down, and it's like, oh man, boy, they messed that up. He's like, nah, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like Russell Crowe and Will Smith, those people that turned out a lot of roles, they did fine, and their careers are fine because they busy winning all this stuff. So, no, like, this movie's going to come out, and we're going to watch, and it's going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just looking, like, it's funny, like, I'm looking forward more for Captain Marvel, which is coming out. It's funny, like, for this movie that's going to make a lot of money. And, like, I've seen commercials. Like, I've seen previews for it all the time. I've seen commercials for all the time. It still seems understated.
It does. Yeah. Like,
which is weird.
It's the Avengers problem.
Yeah. But it's funny. Well, I mean, it's part of, like, Black Panther didn't have that problem.
Yeah, well, also first, you know, Black Panther, first of its kind, really. And then it didn't have the Avengers problem. Like,
No, it's like the Avengers was coming out later. Like, Avengers came out like 2 months later.
Well, yes, but we didn't know how Avengers was going to end, though. So
yeah, but it's like, I remember the talk was, like, Black Panther was a big deal, and it was like a big black movie. But at the same time, it's like, you know, how big will it be considering Infinity War comes out, like, in a few months? And everybody was hyped for Infinity War, but Black Panther became this monster that people, like, you know, think. And Captain Marvel's like, it's their first time they're having a solo woman movie. Like, and you've seen the things, like, it seemed like it's going to be a big deal. It's just been sleeping on.
I'm curious about this one, just because it's another one I don't know anything about. So it's going to be pretty cool going in with, like, a fresh perspective. But the problem is, like, the fresh perspective is going to be tied into... It has to be tied into Avengers, which it clearly is, because the way Infinity War ended. So it's like, is it really going to stand on its own, or is it just going to be hey, here's what we're setting up the end credits.
I mean, it's like it's happening before, like, so it's, you know, it's the 90s, and it's basically, I think it's the funny thing is, like, people sleep on this, like, I'm just ready to get to the Avengers. I'm like, the movie that's basically going to explain the person that's probably going to be the most powerful person on the team, and you ain't curious to see, like, her story? Because it's like, that's the one people kind of sleeping on. She flying through space, blowing up space just by herself.
Yeah.
It ain't nobody else doing that. Like, you know, it's like as strong as Thor, everything like that. And it's like, she's on that whole... It's funny when you look at, like, power levels of stuff, because it's like, Thor is super powerful. Vision was powerful when they decided to use him. But most of them was like, it's relatively, they do on-the-ground stuff and everything like that. Captain Marvel's like that whole, like, I'm an X-Men level power thing. And I always, like, you know, I guess we can wrap up with this. People say, like, who will win between teams, like the Avengers and X-Men. And I'm like, yeah. They got people that control weather.
Yep.
And move like mountains. I'm like, yeah, Captain America can run real fast. Cyclops can blow up a mountain by opening up his eyes. Like, what do we talk? Like, what if, you know, like, whoever win will be ever, like, whoever's writing it. But if we doing the whole your best power, my best powers, they kind of seem one-sided.
Yeah. It's, well, we've really been going an hour. It's kind of weird. When you mentioned origin story, so, like, this is obviously going to be an origin story. The one that's coming out pretty quick is Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
There's been nothing about this. And it's a month away now. As of, you know, March 1st, it's a month away.
Yeah. Or you know how DC does it. They basically wait till, like, 3 weeks to a month, and then they just cascade the hell out of you. Because you remember people complain about Wonder Woman? Like, they're not marketing Wonder Woman. You didn't see Wonder Woman. And then they just started, and that's all you saw. Like, I remember we complained about, like, it was like one time we was watching, it was like a Monday, and we were watching, like, Raw and Arrow, and, like, every commercial break, I saw something from Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter what channel I turned to, I saw something. I'm like, oh, I guess I shouldn't have complained about Wonder Woman not getting enough press. Like, DC's the whole thing is, like, they wait till a certain time frame, and then it beats you over the head with, like, yeah, over no and over and over. Yeah. Like, the same thing with Aquaman. Like, you know, they did that too. Like, you'll see the preview, like, the movie previews, and you'll see something on YouTube, and it's like 3 weeks out, they just gonna club you in the head with it.
And, well, yeah, what was, I lost my train of thought, damn it. Anyways, DC does that, but then DC's comic slate's always weird, too. Because it's just Shazam this year, right? Joker's in November.
Yes, rated R. It? Yeah, because I think that Harley Quinn movie comes out, I think, did that come out next year?
Yeah, January, I think, supposedly yeah. January. And then
also rated R. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. But, oh, that's what I was going to say. You mentioned Arrow, which we took the Flash to task for, like, you know, its problems. Can you tell me what the goddamn point of Arrow is right now?
Yeah. I think the point of is, like, you know, it's because they're doing two different things. The present stuff is, like, you know, you haven't seen a superhero cop. I mean,
which is just ridiculously silly.
Yeah, it's like, it's just funny thinking about that. Like, imagine if Batman had a badge. Like, it's, you never thought about, but, like, because the argument is, like, you know, vigilantes are doing all this thing. They're not reading them their rights. They're not showing due process. How can you arrest them? Like, you just got somebody tied up. He could have said, I was just minding my business. Some asshole with an arrow tied me up and left me here. Where's the proof? Like, he's not a cop. And I remember the big thing was, like, Superman Returns was like, you know, Superman didn't come back to trial to, like, testify, so we had to let Lex Luthor go. So, and I always laughed at, like, you know, Batman, all these shows, they was just helping off the cops. So I'm like, any lawyer worth his salt would throw this out. Like, yes. You got some lunatics coming out here being a vigilante. Y'all like, oh, well, we know he robbed the bank because Batman told us. So, yeah, it's like, you know, heroes working within the law and trying to work that whole stuff out. And, you know, Oliver and his sister, like, you know, Oliver having a sister working that out fine. The future stuff, I don't know. It's like, I mean, I'm wondering if, like, you know, Black Canary's going, like, if that whole thing is she's not going to have her voice anymore, because I'm guessing. And if she didn't, because I'm thinking they want to have Arrow grounded, like, you know, we just want a regular people with guns doing stuff. So, I mean, it's better than last season, like the beginning of last season. So,
I don't know, man. The show's gotten so absurd to me that it's really taking me. I mean, you explained the future, whatever, the past. I'm like, okay, Diggle's doing something with Argus to go after some guy, and then Curtis leaves out of the blue. There's 15 characters. I'm like,
I think it's like they're justifying actions of people and like limits, because like Curtis is leaving because he feel like Argus ain't on the up and up. He's like, you know, I know you feel like you're doing the right thing. I don't think you're doing the right thing. We can still be friends. I ain't working here. Which makes sense. It's like, you know, Argus ain't necessarily like, you know, the hero squad just because Diggle and his wife is there. So that thing is there, you know, Renee trying to figure out how to, you know, balancing being a regular dude and doing this vigilante stuff. It's basically people trying to juggle stuff. Like, you know, am I sitting right? Am I going to be a good person or a hero? Can I be both? That's the story. That's basically the issue is, like, you know, you don't really have a central villain. That's the problem. Yes. Like, Diaz has been locked up the whole time. It's like, you figure he's been gone by now. That's the issue. That's the only issue with Arrow is, like, they don't really have a real villain, because the villain they got has been locked up the, you know, half the season. And it's like, even when he wasn't locked up, he was doing stuff that didn't seem like it made any sense.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like, the other stuff is fine. Like, they don't got nobody to fight for themselves. Well, you know, fighting Durazzi is not brave.
Yeah, well, the one that I just openly laughed at was William comes back in onto the show. Because, you know, everyone was clamoring for William to come back. And then all of a sudden his grandparents show up and go, all right, I'm going with my grandparents. I'm like, Wait a second. The grandparents were alive the entire time. There was no way in hell that kid would have been with Felicity, or Oliver, for that matter, if that was the case. Like, that seems so weird, which I guess they're probably doing to tie it into the future, but it just seems so out of the blue. And I'm guessing, is Arrow going to end next year?
Because probably not.
It seems like he gets killed in Crisis. And, okay, I guess Diggle's going to take over for him? I don't know. That's what it seems like they're going with, because we even talked about it. Crisis is early next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just... It's not terrible. I mean, it's not terrible to not know what's going on, but I don't know, man. Just no forward momentum at all. And, yeah, I don't know.
Well, on that note...
On that, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back next week, obviously covering Captain Marvel. So if you wanted to listen to us talk about the movie, cool. Podcast platform, we watch stuff. Stunt Granny, more so. That'll give you everything. And, yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and please don't do bar crawls once you're getting close to 50. We are out.
Fuck off. I have 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Close.